bartender. Tonight I'll let a stranger pull me on the floor.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. So one of the things that I've loved about the TikTok world is finding other like-minded people. I think the technical term on TikTok is mutuals. Is that the correct term?
Absolutely. I think that's what the kids say, yeah.
So when you find someone else who is using humor and short video to talk about political things and labor politics and lefty politics and being in the Midwest, you become friends with them. And so my friend, yes, John Russell, who's at Hey Hi. John Russell, is here, who is a Upper Ohio Valley guy, a TikToker, author of The Holler, which is an Appalachian-based independent media for the fed up working class. He talks labor politics and for rednecks and hippies, and is based and biased in favor of working people. And he's a dive bartender and an eater.
Oh yeah.
Of the rich. What do the rich taste like?
We have yet to find out, but you know, that's a collective action that we could all take that I generally advocate for on TikTok. So if you're into it, let me know.
So welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here. Big Wisconsin fan. Ohio's like Wisconsin, except, you know, less hot dish in the accents.
Less hot dish in the accent, yeah. And you were, the name of this show, As Goes Wisconsin, So Goes the Nation, it was originally actually As Goes Ohio, So Goes the Nation, but you guys have been a one-party state for a little while.
Hey, hang on to what you got there, Wisconsin. Before you know it, you could be, Missouri or Alabama, the North. That's what Ohio's been up to these recent days. No shade on my own home state, but political change happens fast.
Yes. I want to get into it. I want to get into all your work specifically, but how are the races looking there? As close as they look here?
Yeah. Well, we have one really marquee race actually just came from, I don't know. Do people in Wisconsin know Sherrod Brown at all? I wouldn't really expect them to know.
I think people who follow politics know Sherrod Brown. I mean, he is a pretty, I think in my view, been profiled a fair amount as someone who is fairly progressive in an otherwise red state and yet continues to have the support of voters there because of the way he talks about working class issues. Is that a good?
Very much. Sum up? I mean, that's been his key. Sherrod Brown's our senior senator here. He's very progressive. He's always been really good on labor organizing. But, one of the things that's funny about him, he's just, it's like, you're not going to get worked over by a guy who has like food stains on their shirt as a senator. You know, he is very much that guy. I encourage all of your listeners to look up Sherrod Brown. He's a notoriously bad dresser. And honestly, I feel like that should be a litmus test for anybody running for office. If you dress badly, you're probably on my side. Sherrod Brown's been doing that forever. It's been working. He's fended off, endless right-wing nut jobs and is still our senator. But anyway, I just went to a fundraiser before joining the show here for Sherrod Brown and Tim Ryan. That's the closest race that we have, the Senate race for Ohio. That one's going to be a nail biter. It's with, grifter in chief, mm-hmm, J.D. Vance of hillbillyology fame. But that's the main race that we have going on.
Yeah. But that's still pretty close, right? It's not
very close.
Yeah. And so I think it's the ones to watch, it seems like, as far as high profile Senate races, is there here, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Arizona? Are those all the
Yep,
the
got main Nevada
ones?
In there, Arizona, yep.
Yeah. So yep. So we're holding our breath for another week. But
yes,
regardless of what happens next week, I feel like you and I are gonna continue doing what we're doing. So let's talk about
more of
what you're doing. So first I want to play, I think you've had a couple of videos perform really well as far as lots of views, lots of comments. But this one I think is the most recent one. And I want to start there. So let's play that one.
I talk left-wing politics in my small town bar with people mostly whose idea of a leftist is the actual devil. So we were talking about workers owning the means of production when somebody made an interesting point. They're like, here you are working your ass off at this bar. Do you really want to split your paycheck with a person who's panhandling outside and doing no work? It's an interesting point because it's similar to working for, say, $20 an hour. In that hour, I produce $100 of value for the company. I take my $20 and then I hand out the other $80 that I created to a small group of wealthy owners who were not there, did none of the work, and had no part in creating the $100 of value other than just owning the means of production. Now, a lot of people will say right-wingers are just too far gone, it's not worth it, and I hear that point. It's true for a lot of folks, but a simple shift in perspective makes people think.
So you had 2.3 million views on that on just your TikTok. And I recently had not 2 million views, but I would say, because I've been doing the show, not making as many videos, but I had a video last week that I made about our senior senator, which sometimes the thing with TikTok is that it gets that many views, not just because it's like resonating with people, but because people are fighting in the comment section.
And oh,
so
yeah.
For that video, did you get any productive conversations out of it?
Oh, sure. It's always easier to go down the unproductive conversations. I mean, I think the main thing that gets confused here, on my channel, I'm always talking about huge businesses. This is not mom and pop businesses. Yeah. It's Walmart, it's Amazon, it's all the companies that are, you know, making billions and billions of dollars and using that to influence politics. But, you know, a lot of what happens in that video is people thinking I'm talking about the owner of my bar, which, for the record, I love this man, and he is, you know, in the same class boat as I am. Gordy's not out there making money hand over fist. But you do, I think the power of new media, I mean, when I first started TikTok, your account was one of the ones that I was, you know, basing things off of. Because I think when you're just talking in a relatable way, in a humorous way, and you stick a reframe on there, just a different way to think about things, to me, that's one of the things that, if that's repeated over and over again, can get us out of this just senseless short-term politics. I mean, so many of the things that people get worked up about just have no bearing on how is your life doing? Are you making enough money? Are you fairly compensated in your job? What kind of power do you have? That has left the political space, but I am finding a lot of that conversation on places like TikTok.
And how much are you finding
so that makes me happy.
Yeah, but how much does the conversation change on TikTok, on your newsletter, versus the conversation you have, not only just in your bar, but moving back to a small town in Appalachia, Ohio area?
Yeah, that's really interesting. I mean, the internet is such a double-edged sword. You know, I joined Facebook in 2008. I was like, oh, cool. I can keep in touch with my high school friends and I go to college. And then you fast forward and we're like, oh, democracy might be over. So it's like, you can make a really good point on the internet. Once it gets so much traction, it kind of becomes a thing of its own. And then you have all these side conversations that you're not able to really, the downside of it is you're not able to engage one-on-one in some of the things that are coming up in the side conversations like you would be if I were having that same conversation face-to-face in the bar. And moving back, just for context, where I grew up and where I live now, our congressional district, the Ohio 6th, there's not another congressional district in the country that has an experienced a more intense voting behavior shift in a shorter period of time. This place where I am, where my bar is right now, used to be union working class Democratic voters. It's now one of the most intense Trump districts out there. But one of the reasons why I can kind of have these conversations in my bar is because that working class identity is still alive and well in the voters here. It's just that Trump and that movement kind of tapped into it and gave them all the wrong villains to be mad at. But if you go face to face with somebody at the bar where you're off the internet, where you're relating to a person, and then you really start asking them, you know, what could a company run without its workers? Do you feel fairly compensated? That can really inspire a change that in voters with completely different opinions that might be hard to do in just media silos or on the internet. So it's not all bad around here, even though, you know, the politics gets pretty dicey sometimes.
Well, and that's what I think, as we have had a lot of different candidates on this show, the difference between actually having conversations and versus and what works and gets maybe a lot of clicks on a video and what is, you know, quote unquote woke lingo, because you worked in campaigns, right? And in the last cycle, you were working in campaigns. Yeah. And so how much do you feel like it's what the messaging that comes down from the Democratic Party is, they are responsible for the fact that they're not reaching the people who are in your town and in your bar, and that the reflection of the Democratic Party now being educated, middle class and higher white folks for the most part, and that shift versus high school graduates or, you know, non-college educated white working class folks totally feeling like this party doesn't get me at all.
Yeah. You know, I think media has so much to do with this, because when I tell somebody in my bar that, you know, I am on the left, their immediate response to that is what they've been told by a right-wing media network of what somebody on the left is, that has nothing to do with who I actually am, right? So, you know, I can tell somebody in the bar, you know, I'm on the left. And what that means to them is just this crazy cartoon character of, you know, senseless things. They think I'm in a pizza basement with a bunch of kids locked up or something. I'm really not exaggerating here, you know? It's the power that right-wing media has had, you know, they've invested billions of dollars into it and had a 40 years to perfect it. So many people tune into it. And the one message that they've stayed on is just this ridiculous caricature of everybody who's not on the right. So I think when you're face to face and they are talking to somebody, to their surprise, that does not have devil horns growing beneath their sleek mullet, it kind of busts this myth that, of people who they think they're supposed to hate. It's kind of why, you know, you wouldn't think that a dive bar is the best place to talk religion and politics, but I think that's the kind of stuff that we have to do to dial down some of the political violence and the anger and things that are bubbling up and a real threat right now. But that's one of the things that can happen in person that's harder to do on the internet at scale. And one more point on this, I just think, you know, on the left, we've always had a media problem. We want to address it with, you know, Air America or something. That's the example that people always cite. But there hasn't ever really been a time when we could point to an example of a successful media network at scale. And I think that's changing with so many, you know, hundreds, thousands even of TikTok creators out there who are making good points in a way that makes people think. I mean, that right there is a media network. And I think it's important.
That's interesting, because do you feel like, I so often feel like TikTok is, and as most channels are, because, but specifically on TikTok, because of the algorithm of how you're constantly getting fed things that it thinks you are going to want to see. So yeah. I can see, like you said, I can see tons of creators. I like their videos. It's things that I haven't thought about that way before. It's a really good point. But am I really the person that should be hearing it? And so do you and I think that comes back to, in general, where we are, because my question before you brought up the new media of TikTok is, does that same stereotype exist that because you live in your hometown or where you're living now, and that we, the assumptions and stereotypes that exist on the other side, while the right or the far right typically sometimes thinks that we have devil horns, I would say there's a lot of stereotypes that are not so becoming of the other side either. And how much does that get broken down? Well, we got to go to break, but John Russell will be here when we come back to answer that question. Stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
So pour that thing up to the top. I'm coming in hot. Hey, bartender.
see bright colors.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest this half hour is John Russell, who is an Upper Ohio Valley guy, TikToker, and author of The Holler, which is an Appalachian-based independent media for the fed-up working class. And before we went to break, I asked you as far as these dangerous, I would dare say, stereotypes that I would say the right has of us as horn wearing lefties, but also yeah. I would say that there has been a stereotype built around MAGA folks, far right folks, small town Appalachia folks. And mm-hmm. how much do you think those are also as outlandish and dangerous as what gets labeled on quote unquote lefties?
Yeah, it is a really good point. And I get pushback from a lot of liberal friends for, you know, a quote unquote defense of, say, Trump voters around here. But there is a fine line to me between the billionaire funded media that is influencing most of the opinions of anybody who's walking into my bar and the actual person walking into my bar. Because what makes me able to talk left-wing politics in an Appalachian bar is because I constantly focus on putting the working class in the same boat, because at the end of the day, we are in the same boat. To me, if you have to work for a living, if you don't have the luxury of not working, then you're working class to me, and you fundamentally share the same interests. And for a lot of the political problems that we're solving, they come down to power between classes. If we're going to confront climate change, that means breaking the power of billionaire oil company, you know, owned oil companies. Go right on down the list of any issue. So to me, we need to organize working class power. And that doesn't mean just working class liberals. That means working class people who are currently under the spell of right-wing media. And if you do believe in organizing the working class, to me, you can't just immediately write off half of them who are currently, say, under the spell of Fox News. It's our job to go out there to talk to them in the bars, to make content on social media that resonates with them, because yes, there are some that are way too far gone. They come into my bar. But most of them, in my experience, they are mad that they are, you know, working their life away, giving their one and only life, spending it away from their wife and kids, giving it to a massive company, Lowe's, Walmart, Home Depot, and barely getting by. And anytime somebody is in that situation, then somebody who wants to come in and organize the working class to improve their life, which should be the goal of the Democratic Party, they have an in right there. And we shouldn't retreat from these areas. We shouldn't lead with the stereotypes of Appalachians first. We should come up and identify with that person first, as two people talking who have to work for a living and want that work to pay off and get them a little slice of the American dream. That's still possible. And that works anecdotally in my bar. And I think a lot more of it has to happen.
And so is that the goal of The Holler, of Hey John Russell?
World domination.
Yeah. And so, but that's to organize working class people.
Yeah, you know, I think Wisconsin, I suspect, probably shares a lot of this, but society here changed so fast. You know, a pathway to a good job closed up. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of towns that had middle class wealth just completely vanished, and in came all the problems that come with not having any money. And, you know, our local papers died and all of that. So my hope for this is to provide a little island. A media island in a sea of right-wing media to say, well, we're going to leave all of that senseless stuff. We're going to have a conversation like normal people talk. It's going to be fun and funny, but also substantive. And we're going to focus on what we can all do together to improve our lot as people who have got to work for a living. Because as long as we have that in common, that is somewhere where organization and collective action can start. So my hope would be to to headquarter that right here in the place where there's a proud history of working class organizing, and rekindle whatever's left of that. And also to, you know, send Republicans packing.
Was this always, like, clearly your issue? Because you've been involved in politics for a while. You went away for college, came back, and did it take, because like one of the things I've realized since getting back to Wisconsin is, and I'm sure it's probably also an issue in Ohio, is population, working age population, and getting people to stay or move back and have a healthy working population that's attracting talent and keeping talent. And that to me, similar to, I think, organizing working people, should be a nonpartisan, if not bipartisan, goal, because that is how you have a working economy. And when you look at the social sciences of where do people actually want to live and follow that for policy. And so for you, was it always this, or did it kind of, was there an aha moment that came to, oh, this is the crux of the problem?
Yeah, there were several. I mean, I grew up here in the Ohio Valley on a farm. I wasn't the best student, but I welded up a crazy machine in a farm shop that really did punch my ticket into college. And I went to Cornell University, which was a massive culture shock, because I showed up there in cowboy boots and a greasy ball cap, you know, looking like the biggest bumpkin you ever saw. And, but, you know, it's good in so many ways, but here's one thing that sticks out. I mean, there was a frat party there where people were smashing a perfectly good, it was a BMW. I mean, people were smashing a car for fun. And I saw that, and those people went on to run hedge funds and massive companies. They're the people who are going to be at the Fed. They're going to be in our seats of government. They're going to be on Wall Street. They are right now. And they were smashing a BMW for fun that people would have like killed for around here, you know? And so that was part for me of kind of having a foot in both of those camps. I came from this place where a lot of our policymakers made decisions that wrecked the lives of a lot of people around here. And those people around here are not in the halls of power. Yet the same people who made those decisions are running right-wing media networks, keeping the people here divided and at each other's throats over meaningless issues. So this has always been home to me. I wanted to come back here and say, I've been on the other side and they're not your friends. You know? So what we should do is get together and get a little something that's nice for ourselves. I forget the rest of the question because I just got on my soapbox.
I think this goes so quickly that I think we're going to have to maybe we'll have a regular segment, the holler segment, and have you back on, because I think the overlap is there, even though we are 1,000. I don't even know how far the Ohio Valley is from.
Culturally, we're next door.
Yeah, exactly. All right, John Russell, thank you so much for joining us today. We'll have you back soon, and we'll tag all of the places where you can find John on our website. All right, stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Love to wear a rainbow every day.